I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Down in New Orleans with Joe banging on that piano.
Yeah, see, look at that. I managed to even hit the right color keys and everything.
You sure did. You have Long Island's only automotive radio show, Motormouth Radio, live and on the air. Truck driving man, Leonard Skinner. That's for our buddy Vince down in South Kakalaki, who's a Georgia boy. So I figure give a little truck music to Vince over there.
Absolutely.
And we are live and in charge today, as usual. Take it out of there, Kim. And we're going to be doing a great show. We should have a recurring guest, Mr. Dennis Pitzenbarger from TV fame.
Yes, Sticker Shock.
He's doing a new show called Sticker Shock, so keep tuned in for that. He should give us
a shot pretty soon.
Yeah, in the second.
A flash, and then after that we'll have him on and tell us about it. Supposedly it's a car show for non-car people.
It is.
That's how they kind of hyped it on cruising around the interweb there.
It's one of those appraisal shows where they take your cars in and appraise it. We'll let Dennis tell us all about it, because once you get Dennis talking, we're not going to be talking. So
we'll just hang back, yeah.
But I do want to mention, speaking of cars, today was the Long Island NYC Olds Club show that was scheduled, the Spring Dust Off scheduled in Merrick. It has been rescheduled for the rain date of May 20th because they thought the deluge that went up to Connecticut was going to come our way. And luckily for everybody, all pre-registrations will be honored on the 20th, and you can still pre-register for the 20th, which is nice. You don't get banged just because you missed the original date. And they will be having a fun zone with a bouncy car ride, basketball shoot, face painting, clowns, balloons, sand art, cotton candy, all sorts of crazy stuff. My disc ain't working. Thank you, Kim.
Change something.
The food is sponsored by the Biltmore Fire Department and DJ Entertainment for Families and Spectators. So, again, it's the 42nd annual, and you can catch it next week. Thanks to Bob for getting to us with that. And that'll be that for that. So, that car show. I saw one lone. I drove by there on the way back from breakfast with my wife this morning. I saw one lone 68, a silver 68 442 cruising around. The guy was on the phone. I was like, he didn't get the message.
Obviously, so, he just fell out of bed and hit the road.
Exactly. Exactly.
But then again, that's fortitude. You know, guys.
Sure.
Say.
And altitude. So speaking of altitude, let's hit this button, go to the phones, and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good morning. It's the Bronc. How are you guys doing today?
Good, Bronc. Hey, what's happening?
Good. Well, you're just talking about car shows. We had our first official car show yesterday in Sparks, Nevada, and they had about 225 car turnout, which was unbelievable. It was amazing.
Sweet.
You know,
that's
it's
impressive.
Interesting that we're finding here more and more, you're getting a lot of the younger kids with these Hondas, you know, the 1980s, 90s, early 2000, what they're all souped up. But you're finding a lot of teenagers looking more at the classic cars than at the little imports. So that's a nice change. It's something good to see. And like you said, any car show, regardless of who's sponsoring it, is a great family outing because there's so much that you could reminisce, talk about with your kids, or just talk about the old timers, what they went through and what it's like. So it's really a good thing that you're sponsoring it, you're talking about it on the air, and hopefully people will get out and roam around and just enjoy and what was happening back in those time periods.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, it is the season. Everybody's had cabin fever. Everybody can't wait to get out and do it.
So, right. Heck yeah, right, enough right, now. Right.
So it looks good. And, you know, it's interesting that this particular car show, there was about 20 trophies, which at this point in time, I really don't care about a trophy anymore. But it's interesting that when you're in a community long enough, each trophy was sponsored by a different organization. So let's say the Best Chevy, and it was sponsored by ABC Automotive or whatever it is. It's amazing that the people that sponsored the trophy judged that particular category, and the people that owned the particular company won the trophy. Have you seen that?
Inside job.
Rarely, no, rarely. And I know that the clubs that I am a part in and have been, the clubs even put a codicil in so club members can't have their car. You can display your car, but you can't get a trophy because, you know, people could claim favoritism.
Right.
So we don't do that. But, yeah, if someone, you know, usually in good taste, if someone who's sponsored the trophy wins it, they usually
pass it along to the next guy or something like that.
Exactly, right. So I thought that was, not that I care.
Well,
you know,
listen,
at this point,
it just tells us that Nevada needs a little more classing up, Bronx. So maybe you got to talk to them.
Well, it's a little bit too much nepotism here. It's the good old boys club out here. It's who you know. It's that kind of a deal. It's still a throwback.
And you lived where before you were there?
What?
Yeah, here.
I don't know, because it was a lot smaller. Before I moved here, it was still a lot of farmlands and the interstate across north-south interstates didn't go through yet. There were local roads. Where I live, the road ended one block up from me, and it was just rolling grounds of coyotes and prairies and that kind of thing.
Coyotes.
And now it's all shopping malls. When I moved here, it was 5,000 people in the neighborhood. Now it's almost 70,000.
Yeah, well, so that time marches on. You know, people start moving out.
It's changing.
You got that right.
More and more.
By the way, Bronx,
go see the car shows. I got a technical question that has been stumping quite a few people out here. Maybe Joe might have some insight with his great wealth of knowledge. Are you ready?
Yeah, talk to me. Go ahead.
I'm talking to you. It's a 2001 Toyota Tacoma.
Okay.
At about 1,900
miles
an hour.
With the garlic aroma?
Aroma, right. It's a bad aroma.
No, a garlic aroma that could level Tacoma. It's a Zappa thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, and car runs good. No check engine light. Meticulously maintained.
Okay.
It's got about 65,000 miles on it.
Okay.
At about 1,900 RPMs, whether cruise control is on or not, at a steady RPM, all of a sudden it'll kick. It'll get a little stumble, and it'll do it intermittently.
Okay.
Any ideas?
It's specifically at that RPM?
Yeah, that's the strange part about it. As soon as you hit about 1,900 to about 1,950, and it'll stumble. It'll just do it once, and then it may not do it again for who knows, and then it'll stumble.
Very interesting how it's a specific RPM like that. I would say, and I'm assuming that it's an automatic, and this is happening
in
drive.
It's a manual shift.
Oh, it's stick.
Yeah.
Okay, just for giggles. Why don't you try bringing it up to that RPM range in like one lower gear? What I mean? Just to see if it's RPM specific or something else on the drivetrain.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I can't think of anything that happens at that particular moment.
Right.
You know, because, on an automatic car, that would be right around where the torque converter would start trying to decide whether it wanted to kick in. But something like that. I would want to see if it goes with the RPM or the vehicle speed. You know, have I run into that? No, because usually I don't get that kind of wackiness with Toyotas. You know what I mean? It's it's either that, or you'd have to take it out on the road with a scan tool and just take a movie of it.
Yeah, that's what I told them. The only way you're going to
live
find
data.
That particular problem.
Exactly. Yeah, because at that point you just want to like hit the record button. You know, pull over to the side of the road and play it back and forth and see. See who hiccups.
Let's see what triggers. Yeah,
it could very well be. Okay, one other thing you got to remember about a lot of cars these days, but Jap cars in particular, they don't like to set that check engine light or codes unless it's really hitting the fan. So
right, now it's about 30 seconds to set a code still.
Yeah, that's out the window.
What was this car again? Okay. We were talking about.
It's a Toyota Tacoma.
Tacoma.
Yeah. You could have like a little misfire from like a coil, let's say. That would not set a code.
Yeah.
But what would happen is that, you're going to feel it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, as a matter of fact, Toyota does have a data stream for misfires. And I would, you could actually bring that up and just play it back as the problem is occurring. But I would say that, you know, I would say that that would probably be my first. It's definitely got that like fish bite trailer hitch type of feel to it.
Is that what you're referring to? I remember we used to call it in the day boxcarring.
Boxcarring, fish bite, trailer hitch.
That's the only way I used to call it. Just a little stumble, you know, doop.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like for a split second, the car stops and keeps. Yeah, that smells like it's ignition. All right. Mm-hmm. And probably something like that. It's going to end up being like a coil. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not going to set a code. You probably have to go. You're going to have to watch. You're going to have to catch it in the act. I had a Lincoln Navigator one time that did something like that. And they were trying to sell this guy a tranny.
Oh, boy.
And,
oh, boy.
Well, that's what it felt like. It really did. I drove the car around for about a day. And, you know, actually what I had to do first is I had to drive with the customer just to see how he drives. Because sometimes how a person drives a car, you know, their style may be very different than yours. And sure enough, the thing, you know, I left the, you know, the Ford products, they had like a misfire, yes, no type of thing. And when it hit the fan, it would just blip for a split second and keep going. And then playing it back, and finally we narrowed it down to like the number three coil, I think it was. Just slid the coil in there, done. You know? But you're going to need some, if it's going to be that sneaky about it, you're going to have to catch it red-handed with the appropriate scanner.
What's happening?
Yeah. Live data.
Yep.
That's what I told him. So
okay.
I suggested go to Toyota because I really don't know of too many good shops out here that do good diagnostics. You get too many horror stories.
Yeah.
So I said the best thing there with a problem similar to that, you see the dealer, they probably came across it before on similar models, and they have a better idea where to look and what's causing that particular problem.
What year is the car?
So you go to Toyota and hook it up and drive it.
What year is the car?
It's a 2001.
Okay, that car for them, you know, is a dinosaur.
Yeah, for the dealer, that's a dinosaur, yeah.
Yeah, they might look at it. You might have a sharp guy. You might have a sharp guy that was left over from that era, but sometimes once you hit about somewhere between 5 and 7 years old, you know, because the next generation or two has passed, they don't see them cars every time.
We're all old guys. We're still working on old stuff.
And you're
old guys.
Jeez,
right?
If they're dinosaurs, Joe, what the hell are the three of us collectively? We got like 150 years between us. Bronk has half of them.
Yeah. What's a distributor? What's a set of points? That kind of thing.
Right, points? Right. What, are you kidding me? The points is something at the end of the pen, you know?
Oh, I still got them in my Corvette. I'm still running points, keeping them pure stock.
Actually, we do have about 125 years between the three of us.
Math is fun.
There's one shop down here, real fast, I'll let you guys go, because I'm going to go out today. I got to do some work. Is that this Ford dealership, Jones West Fords, they advertise they will not service any car pre-95.
No kidding.
Wow.
That's telling you something about the next generation, is that they don't know the old technology.
Well, that's OBD1, too. They probably don't even have the tools for that. So.
Yeah, exactly. Right. What's OB1? You know, the guy from Star Wars?
Yeah. That's me. Obi-Don Kenobi.
This is where us old car guys are going to go. This is going to be our new vacation spot for Motor Mouth Radio, Joe.
What is that?
We're going to go. I'm booking us a timeshare right now.
There you go. Perfect.
All
right, guys.
Delta Vega.
Delta Vega.
Listen, real quick, because we have a request here. Do you have any pictures of when the youngins were standing around the cars at the car show?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Okay. The car show that you mentioned where the youngsters were perusing the older cars.
Right.
Do you have any pictures? Did you take any pictures of that happening?
No, I didn't take any pictures.
Our interweb.
You got to do that for
guru
us.
There would
all
like,
right.
Would like
I'm
to post
doing
them.
A car show down in Carson City, not next week, believe the week after.
Right.
And I'll get pictures of the kids and what they're looking at and that kind of thing, okay?
Yeah, with the quizzical looks on the faces. Great. Thanks, Brian.
Okay,
let us know how you make out with the Toyota, right?
I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted on that. All
right. Sounds good.
We got to run.
Listen, have a what?
We got to run. We got another caller coming in.
I think of that. That's all right.
All right.
I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great day.
All right. Bye. Thanks. Bye. All right. We are going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. Here's another song for our buddy Vince, because I know he loves this kind of stuff, and we do too. CD2, let's kick it up. We'll come back with Dennis Pitsenbarger, more Motor Mouth Radio with Ray and Joe. Keep it where you got it.
My sweet morning dove. We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said the motor mouth thing.
What are all these birds doing here at the radio station?
They're just tweeting.
They're kind of loud.
They'll stop soon. They're about to hit 140 characters.
Huh?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm retweeting that.
Oh, no, not again.
You gotta like that.
That tweeter just tweeted all over the equipment.
Do you or do you not know about the bird?
Join the conversation on Twitter. Find us at 903-WHPC.
I'm not cleaning that up.
Hey, what's your big idea?
That's 903-WHPC on Twitter. From the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Oh, yeah, you can't take it with you, but you can stay and hang with Motormouth Radio, where you will get the best of everything automotive and socially related. And speaking of our Twitter promo, Joe, people can follow us.
Yes, we got Instagram, we got Twitter, we've got Facebook.
Motormouth Radio on Twitter, real_Motormouth Radio on Instagram, and Motormouth Radio on Faccia Bruta.
Yeah.
And let's go to the phone and see what we got on the line here. We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, this is Dennis.
Dennis, hey, Dennis, what's happening,
man? Not too bad. What's going on, guys?
It is great to reconnect with you,
Sunday.
Of course. You know, we did a little thing. We know we had you on the show back in 2014 when you were doing a different TV show, and you were one of the more dynamic guests we've ever had on the show, and it's great to see you back on the air. And we left it with, like, we'll follow your future endeavors. So I was glad to see you back on TV again doing Sticker Shock.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's funny. I look myself up on the internet once in a while, and it says my name, and it says TV actor. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm not an actor. I just
right.
am a guy who gets lucky enough to talk about cars. So I appreciate you following me. I'm really excited about Sticker Shock. You know, it's a neat show. It's very simplistic in its ideal. You know, I think it's funny that, like all TV, everybody on the internet, the infamous internet keyboard warrior, you know, troops have come out and said how it's, you know, it's this, it's that, and the other thing. And it's funny because I never met any of the people on the show, but a couple that I previously knew. One guy was a fellow drag racer up here in Oregon where I'm from. Another gentleman I had met all the way back when I was working for Hot Rod Magazine. And all the other people I never met.
Wow.
I mean, I literally walked up to him and said, hi, I'm Dennis. We turned about 45 degrees, and they turned the cameras on.
You know,
it's funny how this is, you know, it's just funny how I guess the word of the day is we didn't make this up. It isn't scripted. It's, you know, and there's some people. I don't know if you caught last weekend's show, but the gentleman with the 61 Corvette, or 62, excuse me, he was not happy with the appraisal of his
you
car.
You can see
he
it in his face. Right.
To the extent of about 160 grand worth.
Yeah, he thought he was going to go for like 200 grand.
I'm not going to pass judgment on his car.
No.
He still loves it. It's a great car.
You know, but I'll tell you something. Todd Wortman was the guy who appraised that car. And,
yeah.
You know, and I'm taking everything with a grain of salt because we're car guys. And I kind of know where Todd is coming from, I think. And out here, at least on the East Coast, and you see it on Barrett Jackson, resto mods have eclipsed sometimes the restored cars. Although I do agree with Todd that a restored car will always bring a known amount because it's you can base it on that amount. But the resto mods have gone nuts, and sometimes resto mods pull more money if they're done right. And that Corvette was done kind of cool. But
yeah,
whatever.
I'm not going to pass judgment on Mo or his car because, I mean, in the end, my job is to have some fun there. I mean, the,
right.
the real credit to the hard job on the show of what people have to do is, as you mentioned, Todd and Nick and Randy and Addison. They're the ones that have to put the value on the car. I, admittingly, guys, I get to kind of sit back and tell the stories and have fun with the owners. And, you know, it does throw a little bit of a mix in there because, you know, we tried to be subjective on values and looking at it from a real-world perspective. And you can always get, you know, and I've said it a million times, if you get two guys at, as the aforementioned, you know, Barry Jackson, you get them liquored up, they got a ton of money, and they both want the car. Well, one of them's going to pay a ridiculous, exuberant, over-the-top amount for the car to beat their buddy out because he's got more zeros in the checkbook.
Right, exactly.
But trying to put a real value on the car is sometimes tough. And, you know, that's what the show is about, is trying to look at it from different facets and different ideals. I don't disagree with Todd's appraisal of the car, looking at it, you know, I mean, you know, looking at it firsthand myself, but I understand Mo's argument, you know, when it comes to the value of the car.
Right,
so
it's,
you know, it's a tough thing, you know, subject to value. I mean, I'm sitting here in my garage looking at a 68 Camaro that is unfinished. Do I think it's worth 60 grand if it was finished? Yeah, but you know, honestly, guys, if you want to buy a 68 Shell, I'll sell you one right now for 6,500.
Nice. Well, that's the thing too, and then what people need to realize is, you know, we're seeing this on TV, so things look different, things look nicer. You know, I'm sure the 73 Charger was a little more road kind of worn than,
yes, it was,
you know,
a little bit more seasoned.
But I will tell you this, Dennis, there was a nice surprise in the second episode because car number one, John Sprigato's car, I've been in his garage and I've seen that car with my own eyes. I have pictures on my cell phone of that car. And and I know the story. And I saw Addison with the appraisal. I was like, you know, he was only asking 30. I said, no, I know. And then we started throwing the, you know, the provenance out. It jumped up. And I said, yeah, that I was just surprised that he was even entertaining. I don't think he's looking to sell it, truthfully, but I don't know. You know, I was like, hey, I know that guy.
Yeah, and that was a very, you know, and that's what was a really, again, a neat story. I mean, you know, to answer first, the Charger was the Charger. I think Nick might have got a little exuberant or wrapped up into the moment, even in his appraisal. Nobody is perfect.
Right.
No appraisal is perfect. You know, we're not, you know, he's not sitting down for 3 hours or 6 hours or a couple days, you know, doing something for insurance. It's a little bit of a thrust into the situation. I mean, it's always easy to throw stones in the glass house. Not that you guys are. I'm just saying the internet has been an interesting battlefield of ideals.
Oh my God! Everybody's
but, you know,
so
to
picky.
Address, you know, his car, all of the history with that Chevy, all of what went behind it, the story with his father, you know, just a magnificent story. You know, truthfully, I thought he was going to ask more for the car. But again, there's the other side of the coin where people may not think it's really worth, maybe they have what I would consider more of a realistic grasp on what can I sell it right now for? You know, I mean, I have several Camaros. Again, I might, you know, what I think one is worth is not what I can go down to the used car lot after I get off the phone with you guys and sell it in hard cash.
Right.
So, you know, it's always subjective. But, you know, and I want to say this. I wish we had more time with each one. And it's not that Discovery was out to steal away from the stories. It's not that the production company was out to steal away from the stories, because I think that's been one of the biggest things. Now that the show's been on air, we're kind of having a different conversation than the average, I guess, what you would call the average interview.
Dennis, let me ask you, where do you film that show? It looks like a convention center or a mall or something. I can't tell where the hell you are.
Yeah, it was down in California. It was it's kind of the cat's kind of come out of the bag on that. It was an old tire factory in Los Angeles over in Watts.
Oh, Watts.
Oh, okay.
Jeez. Good thing this isn't 68 again.
Yeah, it was. There's you guys know you're from the East Coast. You know, there's certain neighborhoods you don't drive in at night. You know,
right.
I mean,
right.
You know, I wouldn't say that I would be cruising around there, walking down the street with, with a poodle.
It ain't Medford, Oregon. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. But, you know, we wanted to show more. And, there, you know, I understand why the show was cut the way it is, because it was supposed to be quick and fast-paced and make it fun for, you know, people across a wide variety of automotive flavors, and just make it fun for people that aren't hardcore car nerds.
Well, but that's it. But you know that us sitting at home, I don't want the camera moving fast under the lift. I want to see what's going on. Like, I want to check out, like, hey, what is that? What's in the suspension? Or, you know, we're the picky guys, but I'm sure for the general, and that's where the producer and the production team have to weigh out, what do you put in for the eye candy? What do you put in for the gearheads? You're going to lose somebody somewhere, but, you know, it's a formula.
Well, I can only hope this. I really hope that the public as a whole enjoys the show. I hope the public enjoys the show to the point where we get another season. And one of my biggest hopes is that we can go back to all the footage, because I have 35, 45-minute, you know, rap sessions with these owners in front of the camera, telling more elaborate stories about the car. And I can only hope that if we get to season 2, 3, 4, 5, however far this takes, you know, the crazy path takes us, I hope that we can go back and reissue those stories in a point where we could do a full cut of their interview. Because as cool as the Charger was, if you're into Chargers, as cool as, you know, that little hot rod was, as cool as that Gifco milk truck was,
Not everybody
across the United States is going to want to see an hour-long interview on that.
Well,
now, there'll be people that will seek it out, and they'll love it. It would be interesting. I would love to see those come back out in their full spectrum.
Dennis, let me ask you this. Knowing you as a car guy, you got grease on the nails like we do. What would make you happier? Because you're a great interviewer, too. You're a really good people person. But just, you know, here's the grassroots question. Would you rather be, like, you know, wrenching on stuff like you did in the past on TV, or doing something like this in the interview format? What makes you warm and fuzzier?
Well, you know, it's a bit of a loaded question, but I'll address it, because I think it's a good question for somebody like myself that's been on both ends of the spectrum. If I was to go back to TV, hold on. When I was approached about Sticker Shock, the first thing that came out of my mind, before even hearing the real true concept of it, was I will not do another TV show that is unrealistic in its portrayal of the build of a car.
Nice.
I enjoyed my time on Highway to Sell. I thought it was a very cool experience. I met lifelong friends, but...
Hey, you almost got hit by lightning.
I almost get hit by lightning. That's very true. I mean, but the reality of putting together that program, and even though I know I was there, and I know what it took, 30 guys, the work in 18-hour days, seven days a week for weeks on end to put those cars together, and know they weren't the best cars ever in the world.
Right.
We still did it.
You did. Yeah.
To the outside world, we were still on this ridiculous timeline. And in reality land, I just don't think exists, and I don't think the general public thinks it exists.
No. Anybody with a car in their garage knows it doesn't exist.
No, not at all. Now, going to where I, you know, do I pick one or the other? I actually would give anything to see Sticker Shock take off. And the most important part is not only take off, be accepted by the public, but then get to reissue those elongated interviews that have so much more to do with the story.
Yeah.
The show that's on prime time, I am grateful to IPC, the appraisers, to Discovery, to everyone that's ever supported me. I am eternally grateful.
Yeah. Well,
but,
you know,
I hope that the long story comes out.
It's like I said when we reconnected recently, you know, we do the weekly show with Lou Santiago, and you two guys are so much alike. You're such people persons who interact with the fans and just the general public. People like you guys. You know, like, we're the guys, Joe and I are the guys in the background. We're just spinning the wrenches, getting with our heads down, doing the work.
Right.
You guys are out there selling the brand.
You're the front man.
Yeah, and we need you. We need guys like you. But, Dennis, let me ask you.
And I appreciate that. I mean, I'm just a regular guy. It's funny that I go back to that thing that when Google it lists me as a TV actor.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do chemicals in my pool so my kid can swim, and then I'm going to go out to Newburgh. It's okay. It's no big deal. I live up in Portland, but I'm going to run out to Newburgh
and I'm going to check out RPM roll bars that's working on the cage for my fourth jet. I mean, I'm just a regular guy that loves his family and wants to play with cars, and it's weird walking around, and Lou is that way. It's weird walking around being kind of that ambassador, because people walk up and they're like, oh, it's so cool. And I'm like, dude, I'm just a guy, man. I just want to play with my cars and love my family, have fun, and live in the greatest country in the world.
So let me tell you something. I want to keep you on through this next break and bring you back. And you just played into the song I have queued up for our breakout music. So if you can hang with us for a minute, we'll be right back with more Motormouth Radio. And we'll pick up again with Dennis Pitzenbarger, okay?
No sweat.
All right, hang on. And here's a song for you, Dennis. You know what? That's the wrong song. I can't do that. I cannot let that happen. I'm gonna fix it right now. This is the song.
That's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Oceano, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
See, this is hi-fi, okay? High fidelity. You know what that means? That means this is the highest quality fidelity. Hi-fi. Those are two very important things to have in the stereo system.
Join me, Kim Tracy, on High Fidelity for a mix of music with a focus on newer music and lesser-known artists every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and streaming with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
All right, we are back. More Motormouth Radio. And Dennis, here's the cook. Couldn't let that pass. Anyway.
Absolutely not.
We are back, Motormouth Radio, with Dennis Pitzenbarger. We're talking about Sticker Shock and all of Dennis's great involvement with the media and with the fans. And so where do we leave off?
Well, great song, by the way. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
We were just talking about, you know, it's like I spent a couple weekends ago out at Vegas with Mopars at the Strip. Last week, or just this weekend, I was out at the Edelbrock car show. We were just talking about that interaction. You know, I'm just lucky. I think we all are. I think that the love of the automobile brings us all together. I'm not trying to be all philosophical. I'm just a dork, you know. I mean, I put my pants on one leg at a time.
Yeah.
I spend too much money on stupid stuff for my cars. I'm just like everybody else, but I don't want to get, you know, too philosophical, but it's neat to sit and talk to guys like you that get it. You know, it's just, we wouldn't do the things we do if we didn't love the industry as a whole and we're just a bunch of car nuts.
Right. Gives us a common ground, actually.
I mean, trust me, I'm not doing it for the money because I'm still waiting for my second bathroom. I don't even have a second bathroom, guys. I mean, people think that, you know, I live in some mansion and I'm making TV money and, you know, I have my Scrooge McDuck room that's filled with gold coins. I live with two women, and if I want to go to the bathroom, I have a bucket from my hunting kit in my garage.
We're in the same boat.
That's a reality check for anybody out there.
Every real garage has that bucket.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Because, you know, pretty much you got somebody come over and visit, and they go, hey, listen, I got a, you know, I'm like, yeah, okay, bucket's over there in the left corner. It's a staple of something, and yeah, let's face it, your Scrooge McDuck room is your garage because that's where all your money went, right?
Right.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Yeah, you can't actually jump into the car and swim around in that, but you get to see it. in one form or another, whether it's the sheet metal or the motor or the wheels and tires, whatever. Mm-hmm. You got it there. Yeah. It's living proof, you know?
Absolutely. That is, you know, and that's just the way it is. Dennis, we're going to take you back again to 2014, where we left off with you. Did you ever get the window regulator fixed in the Bronco?
Yes, I did. That's funny. Wow, that was a little way back playback. Boy, you know, mm-hmm. It's funny. It's funny you bring up the Bronco. The Bronco is probably top five cars I wish I wouldn't have sold. Now, I love my convertible fourth gen, which took its place. That's the car that's getting the cage. The cage goes out to powder coat on Monday. Fun little drag car. It'll be down in the low 11s, probably high 10s.
Nice.
Fun little car, but I really do miss the Bronco. Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say that. I don't know. The Bronco values, I think I might have misstepped on that one. I probably should have hung on to that 90 Eddie Bauer, because what I sold it for, I could never replace it now. I've been several cars along the way. Now I got the sub and the third gen and the first gen, and I got a gaggle of cars as always. But it's always an adventure to try to keep whatever you're driving on the road.
Tell us about this Camaro collection. You know, you got the 68. What else you got hiding there?
Well, I got the 68.
How'd it go there, Joe?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. We're Camaro guys.
Yeah, no, I got the 68, the 91, and the 95. The 91's a drag car. The 95 is a street strip car. The 68 is a sheet metal, you know, leftover project that just sits under a cover like, you know, it's hibernating in some sort of automotive cocoon.
But you know what? Wait a minute. I got to interject here. On the last episode of Sticker Shock, when you were in the back of the 40 Pontiac, you self-described yourself as 6'2", 200, and fat. Now, how are you getting into these Camaros?
Well, actually, it's funny. I have lost, you know, I don't know. I had stopped my bad eating habits and my consumption of adult beverages about a year ago.
Okay.
And it just started to pay off about the time I was filming the show, which was only a few months ago.
Right, right.
And it's funny because in between even airing of the show and where I sit as I'm on the radio with you, I'm about 30 pounds lighter.
Wow,
so,
nice.
Excellent. I'm working towards not being 200 and fat, but, you know, maybe 200 and chubby, I guess, the way I would put it.
Hey, no, because you're a big guy, so you carry it well. It's not like you don't look like you're a schlub. You know, you,
the popular dad.
No, I noticed your hair's a little shorter, beard's a little shorter. You kind of cleaned up the act a little. That's... I kind of like the grungier Dennis. I don't know. Put a flannel shirt. Throw a flannel shirt on you. We'll hang out. You know.
Yeah, I'm trying to look not so grimy. You know, not look like a. You know, not so maybe coming out of a Camaro rather than off my Harley. You know, that would be the difference. You know, I'm getting. My gosh, we're all getting old, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to be one of those old car guys. I'm pushing 50, man. Yeah. I know that isn't really old, but damn, dude, we're all getting old.
Yeah. Dennis, listen. As all these thoughts go through your head, and I know they go through all of us, please remember, you always have a core group of guys like us, because we're aging right along with you,
right.
And we're doing the same thing. So you never really, we appreciate people's roots. And like a car guy, you can see through the fake stuff. I'm not saying that there's anything, any fake stuff here by any means, but, guys sniff that right out. We know. So you always have, you have a love group, the man group here that likes you just the way you always were. There's no problems with that.
Well, I appreciate it a ton, guys. I mean, I hope people enjoy the new show. They can always, I got a lot of other irons in the fire. I got Sticker Shock, Horsepower Wars, Cars Illustrated. All along the time, I'm trying to be a husband and a dad and work in the shop here in Portland. So, nice. I love doing interviews like this because they're not so formal. It's
right,
just,
right.
Come awesome. On, it's just us three sitting in a garage. The difference is we're on microphones and we're on different sides of the coast.
So let me ask you this. Two more things I got to ask you, and then we're going to move on. I want you to give out any contact information or ways people can find you or the things you're involved in. And if you want to give out contact, you can. And then I have it queued up, but I can't get to it now. I had clipped you did a promo for us last time. I'd like you to do it. Give us another promo drop for Motormouth Radio that we can air as a little sounder on our radio show.
Yep.
So, well, no problem. If people want information, I did start a little website called Rotting at Random. just like it sounds, rottingatrandom.com. It's kind of a portal. It's a general portal to contact me or to look at my Camaros or my junk in the yard or, you know, just kind of see what I'm doing. I need to update a little bit. I updated it from Sticker Shock. So, you know, that's probably the best way to get a hold of me. And, you know, honestly, I'm not one of these guys that hides on the Internet. I mean, if you looked, it doesn't take much. I mean, I know exactly how hard you have to look to really get someone's info. So I don't worry about hiding it, because if somebody wants it, guys, they're going to get it.
As far as a
promo for Motor Mouth Radio, all you got to do is tell me when to go and I'll hit it.
All right. Well, first of all, do you have a Twitter account or a Facebook or a Instagram that people can follow?
Yeah, most of it is Car Guy Dennis. If you go to Rotting at Random, there is a link to my Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Vero, you know, Twitter, right. All that stuff is all on Rotting at Random. Or just look up Car Guy Dennis or the Car Guy Dennis. It's pretty easy to find.
Yeah, we'll follow you. And if you'd like, you could follow us, see what the hijinks we're up to, because we're always posting crazy stuff.
Right.
No, you know I will. You know I'll follow you back. Come on.
So here we go. Motor Mouth Radio promo, Dennis Pitzenbarger. Take one. Go.
This is Dennis Pitzenbarger from Sticker Shock. And if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week, because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk every single weekend.
Thank you,
Damn.
Dennis. Very nice. That's excellent.
That was off the cuff, too. Damn.
Well, you're talking to a pro, Joe. We're not talking to us. We're talking to a guy who does this stuff for a living, you know?
That's impressive.
Dennis, we'll keep in touch with you, and we'll follow you along now that you're back in the mix of things. We never forgot about you, and I was wondering, I was like, when's this guy going to surface again? And I was so glad to see you did.
I wonder if he ever comes to the East Coast.
You know, yeah, we've had people ask.
Are you always going to be going to Watts for the, you know, to do these things?
We can bring you to Harlem.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't know. I'm really curious. I mean, if the show takes off, I don't know where we'll film it. Because here's the bummer part. As cool as that space was that we did the first season of the show, it's all getting torn down.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say the SWAT team probably cost too much.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what's going to happen to it, but I know that it won't be there by the time we come around for wave two. So, I can only hope the best. And, you know, as always, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You guys, you're the best. You're just real car guys. I can't thank you enough for the turning the spotlight on me for a moment.
Oh, absolutely.
No problem.
It was great having you.
We like, you know, it's like minds like to think alike. So we appreciate that. And we'll keep in touch, Dennis. And we'll follow up with this further with you on a later date.
Yeah, we're going to link you up on the website too, just
to make sure that
people can find you and you can find us and everybody finds everybody.
Super appreciate it, guys. I'll certainly take those links and tell everybody to listen to this goofing off on the radio. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, then. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, man.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye bye.
Bye bye. All right, Joe. That was
fun.
That was great. Good old Dennis Pitzenbarger. We love having him on. Let's do our last break. And you know what? That was kind of an action-filled hour. So now we're just going to...
Action-packed.
So now I think we'll just maybe take our time a little bit with this break. And we'll come back and do a little more last segment. Ray and Joe, Motor Mouth Radio. Keep it where you got it.
Your car not running right? Let the Motor Mounts help you out at 516-572-7440.
The Motor Mouths will be right back with your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
Hey, have you seen DJ Solero?
No. Why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. Maybe he went to get something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone will figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may have not heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when The Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about The Rare Groove Session.
Hey, guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f- have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead. Tell everyone when to listen.
Okay, then. If you're looking to hear some mind-blowing music, check out the Rare Groove Session Friday nights at midnight on The Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Never buy you clothes. But the way them women been look at you, someday you should have both. Take your time, my sweet babe.
That's it. Just taking our time on Motormouth Radio.
Yeah, Skinner.
You got it, man. Going to see their ending tour this summer at the beach.
All right.
But unlike, and you know, you want to hear some other cool stuff on this station, you can listen to Lyrical Ladies. Wednesday is at 2. I catch them usually when I'm going down to the shop after work. It's a show dedicated to women in music within the last 50 years. You know, artists like Joni Mitchell, Alicia Keys, they, you know, women who've left their mark. The songs they've written and performed over the years will forever leave an impact on the music industry, and it's hosted by Becky Davidson. So you can check that out in the afternoons like I do and on my way to wherever insanity is awaiting me, because I never know what that is, Joe.
Sanity.
Insanity. Yes. Like
well, it's all relative. Yeah. Like, wow, we had some day between the two of us.
We did.
The airways were on fire with texting back and forth, commiserating me with no starts and light bulbs,
yeah.
And you with radiator hoses and rear end fluid. Man, let me tell you, that rear end fluid was disgusting.
That's in the Mustang, and we had
the least literal sense. I mean, that was a bodily fluid you would definitely not want to have contact with.
And we also had it. Yeah, that stuff hasn't been changed since 1966. I think
since
it was
the Nixon administration,
right? and we also had a Danger Drive in the mix.
Gotta love Danger Drives. Tell us how that all went.
I was working on the Mustang at the shop. We're trying to figure out a brake issue with that thing.
Nice 66. Ragtop.
It is. It's a Sprint 200, which is an odd model.
Right.
And what happened was we took it out for a quick synopsis. Thursday, we took it out for a quick drive, checking it out, and we noticed that it was kind of sluggish, and the engine was getting hot, water temperature went up. The rear brakes were dragging.
Right.
So I came back. I wanted to look at it that night. Before I left, I went to crack a rear bleeder and see if I had pressure coming out of the rear wheel, but I had to go get my daughter from the train, so I said, all right, tomorrow. Friday, I get to it. Of course, it's cold. Everything retracted. I had no fluid at the rear wheels, but I was able to pull fluid from the master back, so I was scratching my head on that. Went over everything again, checked the adjustments. The temperature in the engine was due to the dragging brakes. We took it out, went to Carvel, took a nice little drive, another one-mile trip with the top down. That night, Mike decides to take his grandpa home. You know, maybe like a 6-7 mile drive. I text him to get information on that Ford van that was my nightmare from yesterday, and he tells me he's stuck with the Ford again, with the brakes. So, hence the Danger Drive. I load up the tools, I go to get them. On the side of the road, we crack the fluid lines to relieve pressure.
Yep.
And follow him home, no problem. So it isn't done yet, but we are now... He's now experiencing danger drives, kind of like what this call may be. This
may be a danger call. Let's have it.
It may be a danger. Well, let's see. Let's go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Joe Puccio. I'd like to talk to Ray and Joe.
Yes,
that's
Joe.
Us.
Why is your name familiar, Joe?
Oh, hello. Oh, I'm so happy I'm actually talking to you. I'm the guy, the annoying listener who emailed you for about 2 years to finally settle down on a Roadmaster.
Your phone was cutting out for a second.
But this is Joe, we've been dealing with him through email. He wanted to buy a Buick Roadmaster. We were talking about the LT1.
Oh yeah,
saga.
Yeah. That email thing went back and forth a couple times.
Yeah.
So,
well, Joe, thanks for calling. It's great to hear from you. Tell us what's on your mind.
Nice to hear from you.
Well, I want to thank you guys because you helped me, you motivated me, you educated me, and so I didn't give up. And I bought the car back in February, and it's a 95 Roadmaster sedan.
Very nice.
And not only that, you kept listening to the show.
Powerful luxury, yeah.
Which is even more crazy.
You're a one tough soul.
Yeah, I do enjoy the show on the iHeartRadio. Gets me through the day at work, for sure.
Nice. All right, so it's a 95 Roadmaster you bought, correct?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. Tell us about it.
How are we doing with that?
Yeah, I've been trying to do the basics, change the oil, PCV valve, and I changed the thermostat, and So today, well, yesterday, I decided to take on the Easy Quick Connect fuel filter change.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And the connection on the side of the fuel line going towards the motor is leaking after I put on the new filter.
You keep dropping out, man.
Yeah, we're dropping. Now, wait a minute. Now, let me think. In the Roadmaster, where's the filter on my Impala? The filter on the Impala, I thought, was in the tank. So where is the Roadmaster? I don't think I ever did one on my Caprice wagon.
It's the usual canister filter
with the clips.
There.
Right, the quick release clips. There is a tool for that. We were talking about that yesterday at the shop. It's a little rack of these little stepped plastic things that you just shove on the fuel line. You push it in, it releases a clip, and you pull it out. You can do it with needle-nose pliers, but it really isn't clean and easy. You usually mangle something.
Mm.
And the clips are cheap. Yeah. They're sold by KD or Lyle. It's not an expensive purchase. So you have a leak at that spot, you said, Joe?
Yeah, to come out the gas tank side was able to come out with just my fingers, which was great. Okay. And then,
as you see,
the other side was a wrench.
Yeah, on the other side of that clip, there's an O-ring. There is an O-ring that seals
it. But it's the wrench side that's giving you the problem?
Yeah, so like I actually, one of the rings, actually, the O-ring fell out when I took out the old one.
It smells like a flying O-ring, yeah, okay.
And it's green. It's probably a green O-ring, right, for it's gas resistant.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are orange, yeah.
Yeah, orange, true.
One they had in there was yellow, and it was mangled.
It probably used to be orange, yeah.
Yeah.
they're available. You got to probably go down to your local mass marketing store and probably buy a fitting. They make those. They have those fittings for fuel line repair. As a matter of fact, last week at the UD, when we were doing the fuel lines of the Camino, actually, Johnny Wrench was doing the fuel lines. The O-ring problem befell us.
Mm.
So we ended up having, rather than trying to get the kid behind the counter to come out with a box of O-rings, we just bought the fitting because that took a good half an hour less.
Okay.
And then just pirate the thing off there, because without that, it's never going to stay dry.
Right.
So now, is changing the fitting something I could do in the driveway, or does that need special tools?
The fitting, unless you messed up the threads or something, whether it be in the filter or in the fitting, you should be able to get that O-ring out with like a pick and a little bit of patience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
It's not the most fun thing you're going to do this week, but
it's better than having a car fire.
Yeah, there you go.
We've
experienced
that,
too.
Entire town's probably about a mile or so away, so I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, well, you did the gas filter yourself, though, right?
Yeah.
Right, so just take it back off. You're right. You know for a fact that O-ring is missing?
Yes.
Okay, then you got to get your hands on an O-ring. You know what I mean? I would say, especially if you're not experienced in the sizing and the configuration and whatnot.
Because there is metric, too.
Right. Go and get a fitting. You know, they sell them in, like, you know, AutoZone, Advance, whatever. And, you know, it's just a short length of pipe with that specialized nut, you know, with that specialized flare with the O-ring that sits in there. And just be very careful. Get like if you have any dentists in the family or something like that, just get a dentist pick. You know,
that's why clear the engine block drain with the
there
on
you
the
go.
Ford.
No screwdrivers, nothing like that. You want something very sharp, you know, and you know, get out the old magnifying glass or whatever and just like take the thing off very, very discreetly, and you can just kind of slide the other one on there with your fingers.
Very sharp, like your wife's attitude when you're not in it for dinner on time because you're working on your car in the driveway. You know what I mean?
And you're smelling up the whole house with gasoline,
You know what we're talking about.
I'm actually driving to Costco as we speak so I could do the family food shopping, and then I'm going to a roller skating party till 5:30. So, yeah,
beautiful.
I know exactly.
Yeah. Got it.
Eight and a thousand a day, huh?
All right. Well, Joe, I tell you, we're getting to the end of this bit here. We're going to have to run, but we want you to continue. We're happy you called. I'm glad you did because we've had a quite long history with the emails, and it's great. We love to help people out, but it's even better when you call. So keep in touch. Call us back again when you have any concerns on that car because that's something that's near and dear to our hearts, and you know, we love talking about that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm glad I finally made it on the air with you guys, and I'll definitely keep in touch. I appreciate all your help.
Excellent.
Oh, no problem. We're happy to do so.
Anytime, Joe. Thanks.
All right. Take care, guys.
Okay,
take care.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was great. I love when a caller makes that connection.
You actually get to fix something?
Yeah, well, because we've helped Joe out a lot. No, he's emailed me, and then I'll send the emails to you, and then you'll add.
I chime in, or you chime in.
So we've helped him. You know, just in the car search, it went on for a long time. When he was deciding to buy the car, we really brainstormed that a lot. So that was that was cool. Let's getting another brainstorm here, Joe. Let's
sneak it on in.
Let's say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yeah, this is Bill. How you doing?
Hi, Bill.
Bill, the brake line breaker. I just heard a clip from you last night. What's happening?
Okay, here's a stupid one for you. My neighbor comes over, knocks on the door. He buys his own air filter for an 07 VW Jetta.
Right.
It's probably got like all of 27,000 miles on it, original owner, and the air filter has never been out of there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and?
I looked on YouTube a couple of different people to pull that engine cover off.
Right.
Okay, that thing is like frozen on. I jumped up, you know, on the on top of the engine. I'm pulling. I said, look.
I love the graphic.
I said, if I put a pry bar under there and that thing cracks.
Don't be too mad.
I'm not paying anything.
No, Bill, that's when you hand the pry bar to him and say, here. To put some pressure on this, and I'll stand back and watch you.
That's like
right, and this guy never gets his hands dirty. Yeah. He's pacing back and forth, you know, the whole deal.
Yeah. No. Oh, oops, it looks like you broke it, neighbor.
If that's, wait a minute. Well, first of all, 27,000 miles?
Yeah.
Okay, did the car live someplace where there were dust storms? You know, like the dust bowl?
It spent most of its time, I think, in the garage.
Okay. What are you messing with the air filter for?
Because he's nervous. He worries the car to break.
Those
people.
I understand that. But the thing is that most air cleaners these days, they'll go 50, 60,000 miles as part of the service. And the reason why there's such a pain in the tush to get out is because you don't have to touch it. All right, that's number one. Number two.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. On a car that's fairly unmolested and not that old, this is what happens.
Guys, we all know what new spells
never ever work.
That's right.
That's our new sounder. Yes, exactly. So.
Oh, I like no sticker for you.
Oh, you like no sticker for you, huh? Well, I didn't say we got rid of it, Joe.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just said it wouldn't play.
Okay. Yeah, I know there's four pegs on that cover, one in each corner. Right. They rest in these rubber grommets.
I've had the rubber
got all petrified. I don't know.
You got the air ducts off? You got all the air ducts and whatnot off, right?
Yeah. There's T20 Torx. The little duct comes off the front, and then there's a clamp on the intake duct that comes off as well.
You got to rock that thing loose because that thing is a combination. It's an engine cover and an air duct, too, which, by the way, if somehow some kind of mishap befalls that, now you're going to get internal vacuum leaks that you're never going to find. Ask me how I know.
Right.
And you're going to present some issues. So, I mean, if you have to commit any violence to that, I would step back.
I tell you what we got to do, guys. We got to step back and commit violence. Right, we got to get out of here. Kim is coming in. We're done. Bill, tune in next week for the first ever Ray and Joe Motormouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza. We're bringing it back.
Yeah.
Right. And if I get the call for bail, I'll know who it's from.
Right. Until then, we're out of here. Bill, we'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. See you.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Joe, we're out of here. We'll be back next week for Mother's Day.